How's it going, all you Runcast listeners, and welcome inside another edition of Runcast with your host, Mark Lorenzoni, a community running expert who has been directing hundreds of area not-for-profit foot races and coaching thousands of runners for the past 30 years. In this edition of Runcast, we look at a summary of the ACC Championships, see how the University of Virginia did, give you some tips on how to recover and rest after your big runs, and of course, giving you some insight on how to prepare for the 10-miler. It all starts now on Runcast.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to Runcast. This is Mark Lorenzoni. It's a quick state of affairs. Things are really looking good around town. It's time of year. It's exciting. A lot of things happening. Some exciting news from the men's 4-miler. We've moved it to the training program to the spring, the Schussel Track Club and the Urology Department at UVA, and we're going to kick off on the 2nd of April, Zero to Hero. Any of you guys listen out there, anybody listen out there that knows a guy in their life that's kind of gotten themselves out of shape, hugging the couch a little too much these days, we start April 2nd at the Schussel High School Track because UVA is going to be renovating their facility this summer. And we'll run right up through Father's Day, which is the big announcement. We're going to have the race on Father's Day this year, so fathers and sons and grandfathers and uncles and brothers, buddies, whatever, can come on out. We're really excited about it. And then the huge news, and it's pretty historic, thanks to our great relationship with our friends at the university, we're going to finish the race coming up through the tunnel and out into the field at Scott Stadium. It's never happened before. We feel really fortunate. And we think this is going to generate a lot of interest in an event that's trying to raise not only a lot of dollars for the urology department and the men's health incentives over at UVA, but also to get guys a little more engaged in exercise as a permanent part of their lifestyle. So really excited about that. And go to SchussellTrackClub.org to get more information on the training program. Like I said, that kicks off on April 2nd. Had the good fortune and pleasure to be over at the Emily Couric Clinical Cancer Center, the opening Saturday morning. It was very exciting. I got through the door thanks to being married to a woman who's on the cancer board, Cynthia, and she's also the director of the 4-miler. And just exciting moment. Emily had been a family friend for years, and to see this beautiful facility, very, very bright, positive-feeling facility, getting ready to open its doors. And so a lot of folks there that reminded me about exercise in the community, including George Beller, her husband, gave one of the talks. John Castine, who's a big walker. John was always a good exerciser. Ed Howell runs the UVA Health Center, a former track coach himself, and folks like John Stacy, Bobby Battle. It was a good feeling there. So congrats to UVA on the opening of that. over the weekend, just kind of side story, two of our former employees were in town. Melissa McDowell used to be our manager, and she's now married to Matt Guttridge. They met on our staff, very cool. And Matt is the coach at Grafton High School. Melissa's at William & Mary Law School finishing up this semester. And always touches our hearts, Cynthia and I, to see any of our former employees, but especially two that got romantically involved and it worked out, which it doesn't always. This one did, and really nice. They're married, and Matt has the good fortune and is a really tremendous coach. He has got a great gift for coaching. He coaches at Grafton High School outside of Williamsburg, and he's got a tremendous runner, Kyle King, who's going to be coming to university next fall. And he just completed a pretty cool weekend. He was first in the 1,000 and second at the 1,600 at the state championship. So congrats to Coach Guttridge and his athlete, Kyle, and way to go, Melissa, on getting yourself through law school. Pretty neat perspective. It's that time of year when our 10-miler training program folks, Mike, it's kind of neat. They start out at zero. Wow. And I overheard a couple of women the other day on Sari said, what are we doing today? And the other woman said to her, we have a recovery run. We're only doing 6 miles this week. And I always think that's nice. A cool perspective it for is. Someone who couldn't really get much going, mileage-wise back in the fall. A mile would have been a big deal. And now they're talking about a quote-unquote recovery run being 6 miles. Pretty neat stuff. And just to call out anybody who's going up to Boston this year for the Boston Marathon. We've got a lot of people in Schussel. I have the really fun time of getting to coach about 30 folks that are going up. There's actually a 5K The day before the Boston Marathon that runs around the old Make Way for Ducklings Park there, the Boston Common, very cool, up around Beacon Hill. And I've run it the last few years, and then you get to cross the finish line of the Boston Marathon. Very cheesy, by the way.
Right.
But very, very neat at the same time. So you're running across this painted, gigantic painted, you know, it's probably 10 feet wide. It says, you know, Boston Marathon finish. And that race it fills up very quickly, and its entries opened today, which is Wednesday. Of course, by the time you hear this, it'll be later, but hopefully you can get yourself. It's a BAA Boston 5K. I'm doing it this year with Audrey, my daughter, and a surprise entrant, my youngest daughter, Annie, who's never run in a race in her life. She's an eighth grader and took it upon herself with my other daughter. They're going to run sister-sister together.
Very cool.
My daughter-in-law, Lauren, will also be running it. Okay, in the books, it was a busy weekend, really busy weekend for high school and our big U in our neighborhood, UVA. First start with the high schoolers, it was the state championships, culmination of the indoor season. Double A was down in Lynchburg. Louisa boys came away with the big, big trophy. Congrats to Jerry Cutright on his boys squad, winning yet another state championship, this time an indoor title. And it really was a big-time group effort, but carried on the back of Tony Green, the senior phenom, transfer in from Patrick Henry, quite the athlete, first in the triple jump, first in the 55 hurdles, and helped them win the 4x2. Other races of note on the boys' side, Derek Armstrong from Western finished first in the 3200, so nice to get a blue ribbon when you're at the state championship level, 927. Chance Parmley, a pole vaulter from Flavanna, took home a blue ribbon also in that event. And then still on the Western side, Dave Taylor was fifth in the 2 mile, 944. Henry Giles, sixth, right with him, 944. These are tremendous times. I think there was like 12 or 13 guys that broke 10 minutes, which is kind of a big barrier. That's a pretty competitive field. Nate Hermsmeyer from Monticello, real workhorse, third in the mile, the 1600, fourth in the 2 mile, the 3200. Congrats to him. On the girls' side, congrats to Kate Pugh and Marie Witten and the gang at Western. Kevin Matheny, they were third overall. That was our highest finish from the girls in the AA. Big news, the 4x8 record was shattered. It's an old record. It's a solid record. It's now history, so to speak. They ran 9:31, Katie Farina, Olivia Hajak, Killian O'Connell, Claire Johnson. Congrats to them on winning and setting a state record at the same time. Maddie Webb, second in the 3200, fourth in the 1600, ho-hum. NC State bound Maddie Webb, tremendous effort for her. Katie Farina, fourth in the 1000. And then Kelsey Grupp, Tacoma blue ribbon, one of Kevin Matheny's athletes in the pole vault. On the AAA side, very big story, a junior from Elmer, one of Buzz Mail's stable of guys. Adam Visoke, runner-up in the 3200, the AAA level, 9:21. And the big story here with this kid is he literally is improving in leaps and bounds. It was a 17-second PR. Mike, put that in terms, that's 8 seconds per mile. That's huge to be doing that at the end of the season. You want a PR, but 17 seconds, it tells me this kid still hasn't figured it all out, meaning he hasn't leveled yet, meaning there's a lot of gas left in the tank, meaning, you know,
it's there.
He's going to be quite the guy to look for. It's, I think, the third fastest time ever run for 2 miles indoors by an Almaral athlete, which is behind some great ones like Marshall Ferguson and Hardy Mix. UVA had quite a weekend. They had a lot of folks redshirted this indoor season, Jason Vigilante had, and they still came away with very impressive team performance and very impressive individual titles. First on the girls' side, Lindsay Harper, she's just had a tremendous season. She was fourth in the 800, but she set the school record, 207. Really sweet gal and one you really like rooting for. Brittany Boswick, first in the pentathlon, so she took home the title. And, of course, Stephanie Garcia, second all-time in the 3,000 for UVA 919. She's knocking on Claire Forbes' untouchable record, supposedly, at one time. That's been around for 15, 18 years now. She's 1 second away. She was second. Catherine Walker, fifth in the 5,000, 1646, 10th bestest 5,000 ever run for UVA. And then the big news was the DMR, the Distance Medley Relay, a not commonly run event. But it's 1,200, then slap someone, 400, then slap your teammate, 800, and then final baton goes for the mile. Really, so distance medley
right.
being the term, with the low distance being the 400. A 28-year-old school record. This was a really solid one. They shattered it. They ran 11:14. Morgan Gay, Vanessa Fabrizio, And there's Lindsay Harper and Stephanie Garcia's name again. Way to go to them. On the guy's side, probably the biggest story of the day, for us locals anyway, was one of the Fab Four, Anthony Kostelec. Just at Elmore last year. That makes him a freshman, a first year at UVA. He takes home the title in the 800. Put in perspective, he was 2 seconds ahead of the person behind him. 2 seconds in the 800 is just an eternity. So he blew the field away. This, of course, was down at Tech at Blacksburg's Arena, down in fifth all-time time. And this is the second year in a row that a freshman from UVA has won the ACC
really
title.
Cool.
He's undefeated, and he's the number one ranked freshman in the United States after this race. Ryan Collins was the other big story. He finished first in the 5,000. Wow, pretty big deal. Well, the bigger deal is that it's the first time an ACC performer has done it three straight times. And so he's kind of the chairman of the boards when it comes to the 5,000. Congrats to Ryan Collins, 14:07. Kevin Anding, third in the 400. Emil Heinkink, fifth in the 3,000. Brett Johnson, third in the mile. And Sean Kevering, seventh in the 5,000 with a PR, 14:24. Congrats to Jason and his team. They were fourth overall, and on the girls' side, sixth overall. Not bad, considering, again, Jason being very wise, keeping some folks out there a little banged up and refiring them for outdoors. On the local scene, George Rich, we've talked about George before. He's a head of the anesthesiology gang over at UVA, and this guy can motor about 7:30 pace per mile for a half marathon down in Florida. About a week and a half ago, 1:34 PR time. Fantastic. Leah Connor, also in Florida, but a totally different race. She ran an all-women's race called the Disney Princess Half Marathon. You can only imagine where that was. Ran around the Magic Kingdom, women only. 13,000 women. Leah, one of our local, former CTC president, 135th overall. Ran a big PR, 7:55 pace, 1:43. Congrats to Leah. Sarah Bravor, med student over at UVA. You can appreciate this kind of time. Mike, 6:18 per mile, 1:22:40 for a half marathon. So you and I went out now and just ran down Rose Hill, ran around the neighborhood, tried to run 1 mile, 6:18. First off, you would leave me quite quickly. Secondly, I'd be bending over, sucking wind.
That's
literally
impressive.
So she slapped a bunch of those back-to-back. And the beautiful thing is she ran negative splits, meaning second half faster than the first.
Great.
She passed person after person until she was all the way up to second overall female in the race. And then a call-out to Greg Horridge, 40 years old, ran his first marathon, 70-degree weather, which blows you away when you come out of Charlottesville and you go down to Florida.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Or Texas. I think this race was down in Texas. It was down in Texas. He ran 4:13 in his debut performance. Congrats to Greg on his 40th big milestone, turning 40.
Very cool.
Running about a 9:29-30 pace. That's pretty doggone decent. Donnie Cowart, Ragged Mountain racer, first in the 5,000 down in Georgia. He's one of our pro guys here on post-collegiate, 1440. Great. And then just outside the limelight, and always worth calling out, Liam Pluzogen runs an awesome 9:57 for 2 miles, senior year, finishes out his indoor season with a beautiful sub-10. Of course, nobody's noticing to speak of except, you know, him and maybe his teammates and coach, obviously.
Yes.
But, you know, 11th place doesn't get you any points, but it gets you a mention on Runcast.
Very nice.
Because you ran 9:57, William, and because you're a good guy, too, 3,200. And then Claire Johnson, speaking of good folk, was 7th, just outside the score in there in the 1,000. She's also a Western runner in her senior year. Live and Learn department, something I've been seeing a lot of lately is folks not – it's a good one, Mike. I see it continually – is someone getting an ache and pain and trying to take matters into their own hands, literally. So your brain fires, has this awesome relationship with the rest of the body. So your right knee starts to hurt.
Mm-hmm.
You say, okay, let's take care of that. Instead of really taking care of it, as in going to see a doctor, talking to a coach like myself, or getting some advice, they say, I'll make that pain go away by putting more weight on my left side. So chugging along, gee, that feels good. Pain level went from 8 down to 2 or 1. I'm cruising. Fool the system. Next thing you know, you got a serious problem on the left side, a hip, or whatever. I had a person in the other day, the outside of their foot was killing them, almost like a stress fracture. Turned out to be tendonitis. Why? Because the inside of their foot had been hurting earlier, so they found if they tilted their foot out,
sure,
it made the pain go away. But we're not meant to run abnormally, like, you know, running on the outside of your foot. So that's what's the call out here? Communicate. We have just a overwhelming amount of knowledge in this community now between the running docs and folks like Dr. Wilder. We've got the Speed Lab. We've got wonderful physical therapists in this community. And you've got me, which I start out with old, bottom of the line, bachelor's degree, Mark Lorenzoni, 30 years experience. Ask. We'll give you hopefully the right kickstart advice. But certainly try not to take matters into your own hand, because that's what can happen. Rest and recovery, such a critical part of any training regimen. Of course, this is a running show, so we're talking running. I continue to remind folks that on your recovery days, you should be doing either short amount of running or very slow running or both, or else taking the day off and doing some sport-related cross-training like a yoga or a Pilates or a core class to really help you out. Getting on a bicycle and cycling 40 miles is not recovery. That's an insult to cyclists to say that cycling 40 miles or 30 miles is a recovery day. I mean, it's a legit sport. It's going to make you tired. Fatigue leads to trouble. On your day off, try this once in a while. Take your watch off. Just go out and run. Enjoy. Mm-hmm. Listen to the air out there, the things around you. Just take your intensity level down a few notches. Listen to your breathing. If you can hear yourself breathing, back off. Get to the point. Go as slow as it takes to feel relaxed. And that's your body telling you. Some days it's faster than other days. That slow pace, maybe 9 minutes one day. Another day, you lack of sleep. I had a guy this morning on the track, pulled out at the end of the workout saying, I'm exhausted. He's got a newborn. He's not getting his sleep. I said to him, you got to grade this on a curve, buddy. You're trying to shoot for a time that you were nailing last year pre-child. Now your life is different.
Yesterday I had a little cold I was trying to beat, and I said I was at the point where it wasn't overwhelming me, where I couldn't function the day, but it was something I wanted to not have anymore, and I feel a lot better today. So I said no to running yesterday, and I slept, and now I'm ready to go later today. I'm looking forward to my run.
It's a sign of maturity. It's a sign of really getting more experience, but you got to give in to your body's communication. So, and my Boston Marathon folks, I always tell them, someone told me this morning they were tired during the workout today and it didn't go well, within 2 seconds, two questions, I had the answer nailed. They had pushed their run on Saturday faster than what they were supposed to, and they didn't recover enough in between. So, if you're pushing your workouts beyond what your coach tells you to, or if you're not recovering in between your workouts, listening to your body, you're probably going to end up in a pile of trouble. Getting it right, Maureen Perriello, way to go. She's been journaling. I ask all my athletes to journal. She talks about, she did some different kind of nutrition the other day for a run. Didn't work at bomb. She says, I'm journaling that and never doing that again. So what does she put in a journal? Hopefully something like, this did not work. Felt bad during run. Tried something different. Didn't work. Try something that does work. You want to repeat it. And that's the purpose of a journal. The purpose of a journal isn't to make you, compulsively weird about your running. It's to help guide you into trends that are good. Harry Landers, Mark Hampton, a call out to them. They're the guys I talked about a few weeks ago that ran that, 50K.
Yes.
Their first ultra marathon. One guy's in his late 50s, Landers. Hampton's in his early 40s. It's like smart guys. They took the next 2 weeks really easy, nice and slow, took some time off, skipped the workouts like their coach told them to, that everybody else is doing for Boston, and now they're fired up and ready to go again. And then a call out to Leah and Sarah, who I just talked about, who ran negative splits in their PR performances. That's the way to run a race, and it's the time of year when we are racing. Speaking of, 10-miler, less than a month away. We're excited. Right now, what should you be doing? Getting your game plan down, trying to figure out what you're capable of. I have no idea. That's ridiculous. You should have some idea. If you're out jogging along at 10-minute pace, you probably can race 10 miles faster than, obviously. Want to get a real good idea? Jump onto the track, do 8 laps, push them, each lap faster than the previous.
Okay.
Nice test. Push yourself hard. Be exhausted at the end. Look at your time, and we've got a chart. You can pick it up at the shop, or we can email it to you, whatever. It's a conversion chart, and it can tell you, Mike, right now, if you run 2 miles this week, what you're capable of running 10 miles. If everything goes well on race day, you behave, you get your training in, what you're capable of. It's a really cool guide. You should be trying to get in an over-distance run if you possibly can. You want to run a 10-mile race. You want to run it competitively. You want to get something in more than 10 miles at some point. 11, 12, whatever.
Right.
You don't want it running competitively. You're just trying to get to the finish line, then try and at least get to 9 or 10 miles. You should be hydrating on your long runs and getting the proper nutrition, goos and gels. You should be doing those about every 35, 40, 45 minutes. Water okay. should be taken every 15, 18 minutes. Water, Gatorade, 3-4 ounces, sipping it rather than gulping it. And you really, the biggest thing of all, I continue to remind people, is practice starting slow. If you don't do it in your training runs, it ain't going to happen on race day. So we had the Boston gang and the 10-miler training folks up there this morning, about 50, 60 people out there, 5:30, doing their workout. And their very first repeat of their track workout, very first one, they throw it out. It's a, your low grade, run it the slowest. And I was telling them, throw out this first one, it's your slowest, you're easing in. You practice it in, if you execute it in practice, you're going to really be able to execute it on race day. Some recent studies and some, this one was very interesting. I get a magazine called The Week. I love it. It's great for a guy on the run, pun intended, no pun intended, whatever. In the February 18th issue, one of the more recent ones, they always have in the health and science section some recent studies, and this one applies directly to us. It talks about University of Illinois professor Arthur Kramer in Science News reported the results of a long-term study, and it talks about sedentary behavior versus walking, getting on your feet, moving for 55 and older, how much it kind of stimulates your ability to remember your memory. So he took 120 sedentary adults between the ages of 55 and 80. Half got their heart rates up by walking for 40 minutes three times a week, which isn't a ton to do, but it's better than nothing. The other half did stretching and weight exercise instead, so good exercise. After a year, scientists scanned each walker's brain and found that the hippocampus, where memories are formed, had grown by an average of 2%. By contrast, the stretcher's hippocampus had shrunk 1.4%, as expected, which I guess it does shrink as you get into that age group. Though more study is needed, Kramer says initial results indicate that a brisk jaunt several times a week can roll back the pace of age-related memory lost by about 2 years. Pretty cool stuff.
That's really cool.
So we've known this for a while, that stimulating, the exercise can stimulate a lot of really good things,
yeah.
particularly in the brain. But this helps with memory, kind of a cool thing. Because we have been a sedentary society in retirement in the senior years up until this last generation. We've been told 60, 65 years old, you're out to pasture, sit, take a, rest your weary bones, read, spend a lot of time card playing, puzzles. That's great. But retirement's a good time to do that, but you got to be
keeping
things on your feet. Got to stay active. Giving back. I love this section each week just to dig in, don't have to dig very far locally to find lots of examples of people giving back in the running world. Eliza O'Connell, Kathy Thomas, two of my good buddies, and then two of my employees, Chris Post and Ann Russell, came out and helped us with the kids clinic. We had a great one out there on Saturday at the track we talked about last week. Had a pile of kids, and I really appreciate all the help and in kind of positively introducing kids to the sport of running. Building Goodness Foundation, one of our great area not-for-profits. They've been working in impoverished countries, third world countries, for almost a generation now, building homes. They're like a Habitat for Humanity of sorts, and very skilled builders and all volunteers. The whole group was down there recently, and two of my guys I coach, Nick Wisboy and Joe Milby, were in the gang with Karen Pape, Gia DeAngelis, Jack Horn. And poor Joe Milby, a call out to him. He was on a ladder, and he slipped and fell and broke his ankle.
Oh.
Bad luck, Joe. He's a realtor locally, and he's a really good guy. But they're down in Haiti working on some homes. Tremendous. Kelly Epley's the executive director. Howard Pape, another local runner, very involved. So good for these guys putting their skills to good use. And Dr. Mark Robbins, a buddy of mine, he directs UVA's lung transplant program. Pretty cool stuff.
Wow.
He had a patient of his that he did a double lung transplant, and named Christopher Nally, and he ran with this guy. Double lungs, bionic man, 2010 Richmond half marathon. Not the 8K, not the 5K, half marathon. They ran it together hand in hand at the end as it came across
the
finish line. So call out to Mark Robbins, who has a deep passion for seeing people exercise and helping them out. He says it's unbelievable when these people come into his lab, into his clinic. He looks in those lungs of someone who's not taking care of themselves over the years,
wow.
the smokers, and he says it's scary versus someone who's got that nice, pink, beautiful, clear look that's been exercising and you know, leading a good lifestyle as far as habits go.
I remember when I was a kid, we went to the Liberty Science Center in New Jersey, and they had an exhibit where they showed healthy lungs and a smoker's lungs. And I said, oh, my.
That's all you need to
not
see,
happening.
Maybe.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes
it was scary.
Sometimes that's all you need as a young person, you know, etched in your memory. Volunteer of the Week, Jim and Maria Bell, two of my favorites, have been huge help to our family over the years and to the running family of Charlottesville. Jim's been Cynthia's four-miler treasurer for the race for 11 years. He's the guy that ultimately pens his name to that check, $335,000 this year, but he spends about 5 months every year of his life giving volunteer time, helping out. And then Maria was the director of the 10-mile at one point and now is helping coordinate the packet pickup. And just as these guys are mainstays, it's a 6, 8, 10, 12 races a year. They're out there helping at the finish line and really good folks. So a call out to Jim and Maria. Coach of the Week, got to be Jerry Cutright. 35 years thereabouts coaching at Louisa, cross country, indoor and outdoor track. Great recruiter, great mentor, sprinters, all up to distance runners. He's just a tremendous conduit to get kids involved. And Beth Purcell, who's now Beth Brown, we talked about her last week. She works at the middle school there. She's one of his former athletes, state champion, and she works the farm system, so to speak. She gets those middle schoolers, you know, planting the right message in their little ears saying, you got to do running. Try running in high school. And then Jerry takes him from there, and Beth is one of his assistant coaches. So congrats again to him on his state championship. In the news, this is kind of a cool story. Thomas Dold, D-O-L-D, 26-year-old, German, won what last week? The Empire State Building run-up. Huh. For the sixth straight year, the son of a gun ran up the Empire State Building and beat everybody, all the other crazies trying to chase him up there. 1,576 steps, Mike. He did it in 10 minutes and 10 seconds. Pretty cool.
That's incredible. I can't even fathom seeing all those people running up those steps.
Okay, so you think that one's crazy. How about this one? In Cocombe Hall in England, you know, they've outlawed fox hunting over there. So now what they do is they have the horses, the people in their regalia, their nice outfits, and blowing the little bugles. And they got the beagles there, the hounds. And who are they chasing? Humans. They give the runners a head start. They lay down some scent. Obviously, humans have some scent, maybe not the same as a fox. And off they go. They give them a head start. And these crazy people love it. They said they're turned on by hearing the dogs in the distance getting closer and closer.
Oh, my God.
They're running and running through these muddy fields and over hedgerows. So, you know,
gets the adrenaline rush.
There are no boundaries to the craziness that we can create in this sport.
I don't think I could do that one.
Just a quick rant about just etiquette on the road. Let's, you know, heads up there. I'm a huge advocate of the sport, obviously, but I get frustrated with my own fellow runners. I see cyclists doing the same thing, sometimes three abreast when cars are trying to get by. Be visible. Be mindful of the fact that you're a motorist, too, and what's it like when you have – it's scary driving. We take driving very, very much for granted. It's one of the most dangerous things we do in our lives all week long. It's probably one of the only things we do that you can lose your life in a blink of the eye.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't happen around the house so much or at work. You get in a car. So driving is bad enough as it is, and then to throw a human out in the road on a bicycle or running, and they're not behaving. I was at the light the other day at rugby – And University Avenue, and I was just about ready to go through a green light, and a cyclist went flying right through. I saw a runner the other day, Jay running, you know, and through a red light when they shouldn't have been. I'm like, come on, guys. And then one of my employees, as they had the story of the week, he was furious. One of Eagle Scout kid, great volunteer, helps out, volunteers, coaches Y basketball, coaches cross-country team, great student, all-around good guy. He's out for his morning run, and a cyclist came up behind him and hit him with all his might with his hand in his back, almost knocked him over. So he thought it was one of his buddies, but he thought, God, that's a little hard hit for a buddy. So he yelled out, good morning, realized it wasn't one of his buddies, and the cyclist just kept on going.
Jeez.
So, you know, let's try and get along out there. We're in this community together.
We're all trying
to get ahead, you know, athletically as far as getting our exercise in and get it in and the amount of time we have to do it. He was furious. He said he chased the guy for as long as he could. His adrenaline held up. And then, you know, man versus cycle is a bit like, you know, man trying to outrun those hounds in England.
Right, I was going to say
he
that.
He just couldn't catch the cyclist.
That could be the new sport.
Warn that cyclist that there's one angry Eagle Scout out there.
Be careful.
With a very creative imagination. So anyway, it's just a heads up. I'm guilty of it myself sometimes, you know, running a light, whatever, in my and when I'm on foot. So just pay attention, please. Local running history trivia real quick. The answer to last week's question was Francis Fife, who is one of the former mayors who was more instrumental in creating our urban green belt, the RTF, Francis Fife. And the hint was he's married to the first female mayor, and that's his wife, Nancy. Incredible couple that give an awful lot to our community. This week, who was UVA's first female scholarship athlete? Now, this is timely at our house because Annie, our daughter, is just working on a project, eighth grade project, Henley, on Title IX. And who did she get to interview quite a bit with someone who was there, present at creation of that, is her mom, Cynthia. So It was very cool to go through all this. And so I'll give you a hint. It was Cynthia's era, but Cynthia is not the answer because Cynthia ran for Michigan State. Cynthia was one of their first female scholarship athletes. This person, I'll give you a hint, was a runner, but she's the first female to ever accept an athletic scholarship at the University of Virginia. Who is it? You got to email Alec at alec@ragamountainrunning.com. And first correct answer gets a free Ragamountain shirt. We'll give you the answer next week. And speaking of Francis Fife, exploring on foot, I want to talk about the RTF real quick, Ravana Trails Foundation, one of the great jewels of our community. It's almost 20 miles of soft surface that wraps our city. Any given place in this town, right now where you and I are sitting, we are not very far from an RTF head, a trailhead. You and I could get on, no cars. Even in the wintertime, you get the Appalachian Trail experience. Fantastic.
I can't tell you how many times I've sort of fallen into it by accident. I'm like, I didn't know this was here, and it's kind of cool. It happens all the time.
And it's an unusual concept by the grace of the permission of our locals. It's very British-oriented in a sense, where in England you can hike through all the people's farms and through their properties as long as you close the gate behind you. That's the old British rule. And here we are in an urban setting, and we're able to get out in a country setting on foot, even though we're still in the city. It's kind of a riddle. So a lot of good folks behind that. John Conover, John Holden, Francis, of course, I told you earlier, some wonderful people involved with that. In the starting blocks, MJAK, the Martha Jefferson AK, is next Saturday the 12th. That's a great tune-up. I do not miss if you want to run the 10-mile. It's 2 weeks out from the 10-mile. Plenty of rest.
I'll
nice
be there.
Early. It is great. It's a great place to stumble, make some mistakes. Gee, I went out too fast. Mark said not to go out too fast. I ran positive splits instead of negative. I got passed by a bunch of people over the last 2 miles. I don't want to have that happen over a 10-mile experience. It'll also tell you exactly, 2 weeks out from the 10-miler, what you're capable of running for 10 miles. Nothing could give you a better idea in this community than running that MJK. 10-miler entries, I said, are at 2,000 right now. Pretty impressive. Mike Inge is really excited. So charlottesvilletrackclub.org. It is no danger of closing up at this point, but get your entry in as soon as you can, please. Wednesday morning speed workouts continue. If you want to jump in, we meet every Wednesday morning at the nice, bright, and early time of 5:30, we're on the track by 6, ready, out of there by 7. And then, of course, I talked about the men's 4-mile training program starting on the 2nd of April. Runners of the week, Mike, Sarah Bravort, a call out to her. The med student ran 1:22, second at Williamsburg. Anthony Kostelak, you know, how could we not mention him? Sometimes people say, gosh, Mark, you talk about those Alma guys so often. I said, yeah, and they deserve it. They continue to deserve it, and it's a great legacy and a great kid, Anthony Kostelak. Tony Green from Louisa helped his team onto the state championship indoors. The Western girls record-breaking 4x800, and then the record girls, you know, breaking UVA DMR. So two relay teams. Ryan Collins, 3 straight, you know, chairman of the boards, and then Lindsey Harper, school record in the 800, and helped in that DMR. All a part of a community of runners of the week. Is anybody getting out the door and accomplishing things for the first time? A 5-mile run, a 7-mile run. That is something to be calling yourself runner of the week. Myself, I am not on this list. I had an interesting experience. I went out on Sunday to run with my gang of folks I coach. I treat myself once a week, and instead of putting the watch on them, I just come out and enjoy. And It's a recovery day for them because they go long on Saturday. They go nice and slow, which is perfect for me. Made the mistake of getting out in the lead of the group, got talking with a woman, a friend of mine, about some really intimate stuff, personal things going on in life, very intense discussion, really cool. And all of a sudden I realize I'm running too fast. I'm sucking wind. I'm 2 to 3 breaths for every 4 steps. We got 3 miles into it, and I said, I can't go much further at this pace. I got to slow up. So I fall to the back, and one of my buddies who I coach, she calls herself Hyena Bait because she's always in the back. I think, she's always in the back of this group because they're fast.
Yeah.
She's still one of the fastest people in the state of Virginia. She's 60 years old. She's awesome runner. But she's always humbling herself very, very neatly with this term, hyena bait. And I said, no, I'm the hyena bait today. No, you're not, Mark. You're not hyena bait. I said, yes, I am, because you're not breathing, and I'm breathing heavy. She goes, no, we're perfectly suited. So we ran together from the Red Roof Inn, down along the corner, up past Minchers and Bodo's, and got up to the light at Cars Hill and turned right onto Rugby. I was dead. So she said to me, and this is why I am not the runner of the week, she goes, this is actually a little too slow for me. I'm going to take off. And off went the hyena bait. So I don't know what that makes me.
I'm trying
the
to
hyena bait
witty.
Is actually burying her sucking wind, coach.
That's funny.
Thank goodness Bob Johnson, a buddy of mine, noticed that I was struggling, turned around, came back, kept me company. But anyway, fun stuff. I'm glad to see that the teachers That's teaching fun. My athletes to run so well and beat up on their coach. It's good stuff. All right, you guys, just continue to run within yourselves. In other words, run comfortably. Never try and push it too much except on workout day. And continue to enjoy. Stay on your feet. We'll talk to you next week.
This week's edition of RunCast was brought to you by the Ragged Mountain Running Shop, Central Virginia's community running and walking family partner since 1982. Conveniently located on the historic UVA corner with free parking at their doorstop. Visit them online at RaggedMountainRunning.com or make sure you friend them on Facebook, Ragged Mountain Running Shop.